memorize you of that much of the Quran Kareem as it is necessary for the offering of Salat is obligatory for every Muslim. Whereas memorizing the whole Quran is farz a kifaya, an act of which is obligatory on all, but which may suffice if performed by an adequate number. If there are not a single hafiz, may Allah Ta'ala protect us and forbid, all the Muslims will be held responsible for this grave sin. Mullah Ali Qari Rahmatullah Alayh has further reported from Sarakhsi that if in a town or village there were no persons to read the Quran Kareem, all the Muslim inhabitants of that place would be considered sinful. In this age of darkness and ignorance, and when the Muslims have become misguided in respect of many aspects of Islam, it is generally considered useless and stupid to memorize Quran Kareem, and a sheer waste of time and mental energy to repeat its word without understanding their meaning. If this were the only case of our aversion to faith, something in detail would be written about it. For today all our acts are erring and all our thoughts are leading us astray. Sheikh Saab says that it is obligatory for us to learn that amount of Quran Kareem, to memorize it for our Salat. In Islam, what is farz? It is farz to learn it. What is obligatory? It is obligatory to learn it. What is wajib, compulsory? It is compulsory to learn it. What is sunnat? It is sunnah to learn it. What is nafil, optional? It is optional to learn it. What is mustahab, desirable? It is desirable to learn it. And what is haram? Then it is also obligatory to learn it, that I must stay away from this. Now what is obligatory for us? For example, Salat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us health and ability to perform Salat. Salat becomes obligatory. Now when a person becomes baligh, as soon as that happens, Salat he must make. So by that time he must know how to read Salat. He must know how to read the obligatory Salat, and he must know those things which are obligatory with that Salat. He must know how to do it and what to read. Now you and I know that he does not have to know much. Few surahs, etc. he must know, that inshallah he'll be able to make his Salat. A person cannot say, listen, I don't know 20-30 surahs, therefore I can't read Salat. Allah Ta'ala does not want all that. Why? Our deen is natural, our deen is perfect, and our deen is simple. Therefore, Salat is simple, those things which are obligatory in Salat are simple, and to learn those things also simple. Now when a person got enough wealth, when he got enough wealth, then he must give zakat. How he must give zakat? When he must give zakat? How he must calculate it? To whom he must give it? Those things are obligatory. He must learn it. On what he must give zakat. So he must learn all those things. A person upon whom zakat is not farz, it is not farz for him to learn it. A person who has got wealth, now he must go for hajj, and hajj becomes farz. When hajj becomes farz for him, now he must learn all those things about the hajj. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so merciful that there are only three farais in hajj. Three farais in hajj. In 5 days there is only three farais. And those two, Allah ta'ala has made it so simple. One is that you must be in the condition of ihram. You must put those two pieces of cloth on. Obviously, it must be the time of Hajj and all those. Secondly, he must stay on the day of Arafat in Arafat. And how he must stay there, even if it be for 1 minute, even if he's passing there, even if he's passing sleeping there, even if he's passing unconscious there, even if he's passing in the state of semi-coma, even if he's passing in the state of coma, then is fulfilling of the obligatory nature. Third thing, that he must make tawaf ziyarah. So simple. Why? Most of those who go for Hajj, although it becomes obligatory upon them, they cannot take the onus and they cannot take the responsibility and duty to learn about Hajj. So many ignorant people go there, so many illiterate people go there, and so many wealthy people go there who are ignorant. Remember that wealth and knowledge generally don't go together. Wealth and, for example, degrees don't go together. Wealth and profession generally doesn't go together. You see, people who are wealthy in our areas, locally, nationally, internationally, but they cannot even cite the names properly, they cannot speak properly, all those things. Lengthy discussion with them. What is wajib? Compulsory to do? We must learn it. It is compulsory to learn it. And that is why we say that when a person accepts Islam, then don't tell him that he has to do this, 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 this. Don't. Because that is not true. Yes, he must have to have this belief, he must hold this belief, he must do all those things. That is there. But don't tell him he has to do 200 things when you yourself are not doing it. That's all the thing too, that going out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, striving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, going out in da'wat, there also, when you tell the person that come out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you don't have to tell him, which is wrong if you tell him, that he must know this dua and he must know that dua and he must know this and he must know that, and tell him 100 things. Obviously he won't come out because he doesn't know it. Because he doesn't know it, he feels shy, he won't come out. But you have to show him how easy it is. When you show him how easy it is, then he'll say, no, it's very easy, I must come out in the path of Allah. If you look at the major ideologies of the world, even the batil ones, and if you look at their basic books and their basic textbooks and their propagation or the propagating material, they all are written simply. And when we present Islam too, we must present it very simply, so the people understand it. When we tell the people about the way out of the path of Allah, they also must know it is very easy. So it is obligatory for us to learn few surahs, etc. What is farz in salat, we must learn. It is obligatory for us. Memorizing the whole of Quran Kareem is farz kifaya. Farz kifaya is a term which requires some explanation. For example, salat janaza is farz kifaya. Giving ghusl to the mayyat, making kafan, dafan, salat janaza, that whole procedure is farz kifaya. If in a locality, if a person dies and there is no one to bury him, then the Muslims of the locality will be sinful. Now farz kifaya, how many people now in salat janaza you require? 200 people, 300? To fulfill this farz kifaya nature? And unfortunately also, yeah, we have to make some comments that these days when a person of wealth passes away, the whole locality goes for his funeral. And when a person from the flat or a person from the poor areas pass away, or a poor person pass away, they don't want to go for the funeral. Pathetic that is. It's not Islamic. Now if a baby passes away, or if a youngster passes away, if an adult passes away, the farz kifaya nature will change, the quantity. Baby passes away, then it requires one person, he can give ghusl, etc., he can make the kafan and wrapper, and he can carry it away, and he can have a few people aid him to dig the kabar and bury. so few are required. 2-3, few for digging the grave, few for making the ghusl. Adult passes away, also now the number will increase. How the number will increase according to circumstances, availability of equipment and all those things, and how to give the ghusl, how many people will be required. That will increase. Big size person passed away, to give him ghusl, kafan, dafan, carry him and take him to the graveyard, so many people require. Like the etikaf. Etikaf is sunnat e muqida ala al farz kifaya. It is sunnat e muqida, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam insisted sunnat, but it is such a sunnat that if no one does it, the whole locality will be sinful. If one person does it, the whole locality will be absolved of that responsibility and duty. That is why one person is sufficient. Memorizing of the Quran al-Kareem, Shaykh Sahib says it is farz kifaya, and he says Mullah Ali Qari Rahmatullah Alayhi has stated this. So in the locality there must be those who learn Quran al-Kareem for pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward them, and it will be preservation of deen. InshaAllah, I will continue from here. Next week we will continue tafsir. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Al-Ahmadu wa nusalli ala Rasulil Kareem. Last week I promised you I will discuss about the Kaaba. And before I start telling you about the Kaaba, few basic things. It comes under the discussion of our Surah Fil. Well, because Abraha came to attack the Kaaba, he said that let us say and let us discuss something about the Kaaba, that you have a small history. This word Kaaba comprises of Qaf, Ayn, Ba also. And Shah Wali Billah Rahmatullah Alayhi has written that wherever you see combination of letters, then it gives a particular meaning. This same combination, Kaf, Ayn, and Ba, is also used for the stars. Why the stars seem to pop out of the sky, seem to protrude from the sky. This same combination is used for the woman's breast. Why? Because they protrude. And the same word Allah Ta'ala uses when He describes the Hurs of Jannat, that they will be having protruding breast. And the same root, Kaf, Ayn, Ba, Allah Ta'ala is using for the Kaaba because of the protrusion from the earth, the protrusion that comes up. And that same word, Allah Ta'ala, the same combination, Kaf, Ayn, Ba, Allah Ta'ala uses for our ankle. You see the ankle, the bone that protrudes. It's called Kaabain. Why it protrudes? So anything that protrudes, Allah Ta'ala is using the alphabet Kaf, Ayn, Ba. It is reported that Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala said, and many other sahabas have stated, that the earth, the creation of the earth, this portion first appeared as a bubble above the water. Then the earth was created by spreading this air bubble, this air ball, out like a flat bread, like a roti, rolled out from the ball of dough. So first the creation of the earth, everything was covered in water. And that area where the Kaaba is, that protruded first. And earth spread from there. That is why now science has proven via geography, etc., and the detailed maps and contours, that the Kaaba is the most central point of the earth. That the Kaaba is the most central point of the earth. You start from any point of the earth and you will have to deduce by calculation that the Kaaba is the most central. That is why we Muslims, alhamdulillah, have been given the Kaaba to face. It is most central. And the earth, creation of the earth came out from there. And then earth protruded and then the earth spread from there. The earth did not come into existence by the Big Bang theory. That Big Bang theory which says that there were meteorites all being blasted out of space, and these meteorites came together and formed the earth. That is the theory Islam does not accept, but it accepts the theory which is stated in the hadith that the Kaaba was first created and spread from there. According to some ulama, the Jews used to boast about Baitul Muqaddas being the most virtuous part of the world because of being the center for so many Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed about the Maqam Ibrahim. Now the Maqam Ibrahim, as you will know, that when you go to the Haram and where the Kaaba is, you will find there is a stone there and it's now glass caged. When Ibrahim alayhi salam, and according to the narration, Dhurra Mansur says Ibrahim alayhi salam was 100 years old and Ismail alayhi salam was 30 years old when they constructed the Kaaba. Various people have constructed the Kaaba. I will mention to you how and when. But when Ibrahim alayhi salam was constructing the Kaaba, then he was stand on a flat piece of rock. And this rock should automatically go up. He should take the rock, pick the other rock up, and this rock which he was standing on should go up and he should place those rocks. Ismail alayhi salam is set over passing those rocks to him. As a result, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam's footprint, his footprint was embedded into that rock. That has been preserved. The Maqam Ibrahim is the stone where upon Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam used to stand. And now it is stated about the Kaaba, وَمَنْ دَخَلَهُ كَانَ آمِنًا, that whosoever enters the Kaaba, he is safe. But the safety is that when you go there, then your salat is safe, your deed is safe, and also it is stated that your life is safe. That is why Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala who said that even if I found my father's killer here, killer there, I shall not be able to enforce the punishment until he leaves the haram. So to go there, even a person who committed a sin, a murderer, he gets into the haramain, then inshallah no one can harm him. Now a few years ago we had the problem at the haram, and the haram was taken over, and there was a big problem there, there was shooting, and a good few days I think the haram was taken over by other people. Now whatever transpired there, we don't know in detail. However, it is a law of Islam that whosoever goes into the haram, he cannot be killed in the haram. That is why eventually, if you look at that incident, they used water and they rectified that water to get those people out of there. Whether those people got in there for good reasons or bad reasons, I'm not here to discuss that. That's another discussion. However, if a person goes there and he is a murderer, then Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi states that you can starve him. You can now cut all, you put an embargo on him, you put a boycott on him, then inshallah he'll be, due to thirst and hunger, he'll have to leave that haram and he'll have to come out. That is why Rasulullah on the conquest of Mecca, as I stated to you, when Hazrat Abu Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala asked him, Ya Rasulullah, give me a privilege, the Nabi Kareem said that Man dakhala bayt Abu Sufyan kana amina. Whosoever enters the house of Abu Sufyan, he is at peace. What was the significance that he raises the status of Hazrat Abu Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala anhu? It is stated that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam erected the Kaaba, and Jibreel alayhi salam showed him how to do it and laid out the plan. Now you can imagine, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam is the one who is showing him, and Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam, they are constructing it. According to Ibn Sa'ad, Ibrahim alayhi salam, he was at the ripe old age of 100 and Ismail at the age of 30. Now, the Kaaba was created when it was created or when it was made. It is stated that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first created the Kaaba. Then 2000 years before the creation of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, the Malaika, the angels, they made the Kaaba. Then it is stated that Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam erected the Kaaba during his lifetime. One point very clearly, that every Nabi made Hajj, every Nabi went to the Kaaba, every Nabi went to Arafat, every Nabi went to Muzdalifah. That we must remember. So, and when Adam alayhi salatu wasalam constructed the Kaaba, he took rocks, stones from five places: Lebanon, Mount Sinai, Mount Zaita, and Mount Judi and Mount Hira. And upon the death of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, or the flood of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, the Kaaba was destroyed. Then it is said that Shir alayhi salam, the son of Adam alayhi salam, erected the Kaaba. That is in between Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam and Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Then we have its erection on the same place by Ibrahim alayhi salam, as stated above. It is said that this structure was 9 yards high, 30 yards long and 23 yards wide. It had no roof. On the side there was a well wherein the sacrifices offered to the Kaaba were dropped. Then the erection of the Kaaba by a tribe called Amalika and Jurhum. These were both Arab tribes. Then erection by a person called Quwaisi, who was one of the forefathers of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then during the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was 25 years old, and some reports say that he was 35 years old, then the Quraysh decided they want to reconstruct the Kaaba. And then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he aided the Quraysh in reconstructing the Kaaba. And at that time, what should happen? Then the Quraysh and the Mushrikeen of Mecca, they should go around the Kaaba naked. They should go around the Kaaba naked. And when we say naked, we mean absolutely naked. And how they should go? They should go around it naked, and they should clap hands, and they should whistle, and they should hoot, and they should jump, and they should scream, and they should shout, and they should do all these things. And out of modesty, some of the women folk, they should take their right hand, they should take one of their hands, place it in the front, and take another hand and place it in the posterior. This is how they should cover themselves and go around the Kaaba. Then what happened? What was the reason of them going naked? They said that the Arabs said, no, the clothing they are wearing is haram, is out of haram money. The clothing that they are wearing is out of haram money, therefore we cannot make the tawaf of Allah Ta'ala's house with haram clothing. So take all the clothing out, now you in the pure state, they reasoned like this, and they went around the Kaaba. Then later what happened? Remember that sometimes deed becomes commercial. Deed becomes commercial. Then certain people opened up shops now. And they opened up shop and they had clothing for the people making tawaf. So you go there and then you buy, you rent the clothing or you hire it out. You wear the clothing, you take out your clothing, you wear that clothing, then other halal clothing, and then make tawaf. And then you come back, you take out the clothing, pay your money, and then you wear your own clothing. That same racket is run now, nowadays also. That at the grave sites you'll see in Indo-Pakistan that before you go to the graves, then these people are selling those green cloth, and they are encouraging you to buy those green cloth. So what you do, you buy the green cloth and you go and take it and put it on the grave. Then that same merchant outside, he comes and takes that same green cloth and he brings it back in his store, and then another person comes, he buys it, and this whole chain goes on. You understand? Very commercial again. And the flowers too, he does the same thing. The flowers you buy there, you go throw it there. When you turn your back, he takes it back to his shop and then he resells it. So this is rotating his stock, immediate rotation of stock is taking place. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took part in the construction of the Kaaba. Here also it is proven that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was protected. Remember, wahi hasn't come. Both opinions are that one is 25 years old and one is 35 years old. Now what the young lads of that day were doing, they should take the rock and they should place it on the shoulder. Now because when they take the rock and place it on the shoulder, it was leaving a mark. So what they did, they should wear a sort of a lungi. Everybody knows what's a lungi, a loincloth. And they remove the loincloth. Now when they remove the loincloth, practically the satr is open now. And they should take the loincloth and put it on the shoulder and put the rock on the shoulder. It is reported Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also intended to do such an action. He intended to do such an action. And he swooned and he fell down. He swooned and he fell down. Immediately realized that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want him to open his satr. Why? Allah ta'ala is protecting him. Allah ta'ala is safeguarding him. He is the Nabi, he is the Rasul. Why? Because a Nabi, remember this very carefully, a Nabi is born a Nabi. A Rasul is born a Rasul. A Nabi is one who is born believing Allah ta'ala is one. A Rasul is one who is born believing in Allah Ta'ala as one. Because a Nabi or a Rasul is that one who is divinely appointed and protected by Allah Ta'ala, and he is one who is going to call the creation towards Allah Ta'ala who is one. That is a Nabi and a Rasul. So a Nabi and a Rasul does not, by investigation or observation, come to the conclusion that Allah Ta'ala is one. No, no. Allah Ta'ala has put in the heart of the Nabi that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is one. So Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is protected. Once Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that he and his companions were going out to Makkah al-Mukarramah, and there was going to be a festival and a feast there, and there was going to be a lot of poetry and recitations there. So Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that there was going to be music, etc. there too. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on the journey decided to rest. And when he decided to rest, he fell asleep. He fell asleep to such an extent, when he got up, that festival was over. Here, it is also stated that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused the sleep to come over him so that he could be protected. When that Kaaba was reconstructed during the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's time, era, then the question arose that how and who is going to put the Hajar-e Aswad? The Hajar-e Aswad, the chief stone from Jannat. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said of which, that it was whiter than milk when it came, the sins of man have made it black. It is reported when the construction of the Kaaba took place, and while it was taking place and nearing completion, then the Quraysh leaders, they dipped their hands in blood and said that my tribe is going to put it. And everyone decided that. And if any other tribe was going to put it, there was going to be a hue and a cry and a big fight taking place. Such was their fervor that they are going to insert the Hajar-e Aswad. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, after aiding the work and he went away home, the Quraysh leaders then, after Mashwara, decided that the first person who comes into the Haramain in the morning, we will tell him to make the decision. We will tell him to make the decision and we will agree upon that who will put the Hajar-e Aswad. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was the first person to come into the Haram. When he came into the Haram, the Quraysh leaders themselves, and here must remember that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has not proclaimed that he is a Nabi yet. He has not given them call to Islam yet. He has not called them to the Quran or Allah Ta'ala yet. When he came inside there, they said, yes, here comes Al-Amin, the trustworthy one. Why? Because they should leave the properties with him, and they should leave their tokens and their valuables with him. They told him, this is the problem, and whatever decision you decide, we will agree upon. And he, Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired him. He said that you must get a big cloth. And they took the Hajar-e Aswad and they put it in the center of the cloth. And he said that each tribe leader must hold the cloth at the ends. So every tribe leader held it, they picked it up and they took it near the Hajar-e Aswad. This is the same Hajar-e Aswad that when Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was constructing the Kaaba, then first of all, because of the flood of Nuh alayhi salam, where the Kaaba was, that foundation was not visible. So when Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was inspired that the Kaaba, that this is the corner of the Kaaba, and when he began to dig and he realized there's the foundation of it, then he told his son Ismail alayhi salam that, oh Ismail, go to Jabal al-Qubais and go get a stone that we can put here, that this is the corner of the Kaaba. So when Ismail alayhi salam was going towards Jabal al-Qubais, then Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came with the Hajar-e Aswad and gave Ismail alayhi salam, which was whiter than milk at that time. Ismail alayhi salam came back with the Hajar-e Aswad and they inserted it there as a mark stone, as a marker that this is the corner of the Kaaba. That very Hajar-e Aswad, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam took it with his Mubarak hands and he picked it up and he inserted it. Now these days you will see that the Kaaba, and then you will see the Hatim. That Hatim is that horseshoe half wall. During the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was exactly like that. The Hatim was left out. But remember that the Hatim is part of the Kaaba. That is why when you make tawaf and you start from Hajar-e Aswad, you go and you go round the Hatim and you come back to the Hajar-e Aswad. That makes one round. And seven of those rounds make one tawaf. Now why they left the Hatim out? It was that same philosophy. That we haven't got enough. We haven't got enough halal earnings. We haven't got enough halal earnings to construct the complete Kaaba. They also knew that differentiated between halal and haram. They also knew that we must use halal wealth for good purposes. They also knew that if you use halal wealth for good purposes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give barakat in those things. And why they had decided to construct the Kaaba at that stage? Inshallah, I'll explain to you next week that how that ship got wrecked there and who constructed the Kaaba and how they had the difficulties in constructing the Kaaba, about that one snake that came and about that old man who decided that he's going to break down the Kaaba, all those things. And also we will tell you that when the Kaaba will be destroyed eventually and who will destroy it, why it will be destroyed and what will be the size of the army, where that army will come from, who will comprise of that army. All those things inshallah I'll tell you next week. Ya Rahman Rahim, Ya Rahman Rahim. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم اغفر لي ولوالدي يا مستهدي يا في الجنة.